Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we were waiting for an intro.
I was so anxious.
I know. Oh my gosh! Welcome to We Say Wednesday.
Welcome,
you know what?
To We Say Wednesday.
No, we can do. We can play it. We can actually just play the intro because it was supposed to automatically start, but it didn't.
Someone's getting fired.
Yeah.
And they're not in this room.
No. And right now, in fact, if you go in the parking lot, they're probably starting their car this very moment. You might want to go see who's out there.
And don't ever go back.
Yeah. All right, well, here's what you were supposed to hear. Maybe.
Welcome to We Say Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your hosts, Bell Star
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and
the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, and tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors today are Accurate Med Testing, Growers House, and Mary Jane Survival Guide.
We would like to thank Tumbleweed Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things education related to medical cannabis. Visit Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, or tumbleweedhealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
How about that?
Amazing. Can't hear anything. Oh, well, there you go. Woo-hoo! How about that?
That was pretty nice.
That was pretty nice. First ever intro.
How long did that take us?
Oh, gosh. A couple hours. We're like, we got this in two takes.
Sounded really good. We're like, I love it.
My doctor's like, oh, my God, get out of here. Oh, well, thank you for joining us today, August 28th. 2013. There's a lot going on in the world of cannabis. Just in the world.
Just in the world in general.
We would like to acknowledge today is the 50th anniversary of the march at the White House.
Yep.
Yes.
The march.
So, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, I have a dream.
Yes. And I've been listening to a lot of the NPR shows and people that have been behind the scenes. And
well, I had a dream last night.
What was your
dream? Everyone in America smoked pot.
Oh, that is a great thing. See, on the eve of the dream?
Just a little bit. Right. Not everyone.
Okay.
You know,
well, maybe not everyone was
who wanted to.
Open
anybody
to
who
it?
Wanted to.
Yeah.
Anyone was candidates as minister?
Yeah, absolutely. It should be their choice.
It should be their choice.
It should be their choice. We have a fantastic show today, aside from our wonderful new intro, which we just don't even know what
amazing.
To do with ourselves now amazing. When that's happening. We're like, okay, someone clean the mold. All right. So we have a great show today. We have the Cannabis Patient Network with Mark Peterson and Regina Nelson. They are waiting on the line. So let's just read a little bit about them, and then let's have them on. What do you think, Tim?
I think it would be awesome.
We've been excited for this for a long time. Cannabis Patient Network is a dream for founder Mark Peterson. He began interviewing cannabis patients across the nation in 2006. Hundreds of patients, most from non-medical states, have shared their stories, and Mark has in turn shared these stories with thousands. CPN has grown to become a national organization focused on merging science with the patient experience and has now launched a membership organization with CPN Institute. Through Cannabis Patient Network Institute, we plan to continue to build our archive of patient stories as more patients become empowered to share their experience and knowledge of cannabis use. With your support, CPN Institute will continue to bring hope to a hurting world. And Regina Nelson's first foray into integral theory, Framing Integral Leadership with the Medical Cannabis Community, was published in December 2012, providing her with the distinct title of Cannabis Theorist. Wow. I like that. Regina comes to the medical cannabis movement with the belief that cannabis patients are leaders and have gained through experience a great deal of knowledge to share with others about cannabis use and its efficacy as medicine. Regina continues to conduct interdisciplinary research related to cannabis use, as well as encourage others to become involved in similar research. research that shares the patient experience. And in the near future, CPN Institute desires to grow into a research institute focused on interdisciplinary cannabis research.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How's that for
awesome.
Wow.
And they are on the line here. So let's go ahead and say good morning to Regina and Mark.
Good morning, Regina and Mark. How are you?
Oh, let's see. Let's get the program working.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good.
Good.
Hi. Oh, there you go. We're good. Thanks for having us back, you guys. We missed you.
I know. We miss having you. We could sit with you guys every day and have coffee and chat it up about news. How are you guys?
we're good. We've been busy. You know, we're out at the Colorado State Fair, and so it's been a busy week for us, but it's kind of good to stop for a little bit this morning, chat with you guys, and yeah, we'd love to come see you again soon.
And how is the fair? How are people receiving you out there? This is a first for probably state fairs anywhere in this nation.
Right. Tell us about why it's so special, you guys being there.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Well, actually, we are the only cannabis organization at the Colorado State Fair, and in fact, we are the very first nationally to be at a state fair.
That is amazing.
It's been an interesting reaction from the crowd. I don't know if you saw the clip we put up the other day. We've got a lot of positive support, but it's really been an eye-opening kind of experiment in human behavior, too, as we watch so many people walk by, and those who we can tell are obviously in chronic pain who will look away because they don't yet understand that cannabis can be such a huge help to them. So, you know, it's... We hope that by providing this year and getting into the Colorado State Fair next year, we're going to be able to go to all states because then people, you know, we've proven ourselves as an educational and research, and we're not in people's faces and providing samples.
Well, you know, we don't want to misrepresent this here because the vast majority of people who come by our booth have been very supportive.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing, we've had a lot of history taking here. Our first opening weekend, we had one of the federally legal patients who was actually coming through town anyway, so we were able to see him, George McMahon. And
he came and he worked at our booth with us.
And we've had Mary Lynn Mathry with patients out of time with us. And so we'll be taking her to the airport today. So she may come join us here in a little bit. But she's been here. We've had a number of just incredible patients and organizations support us. River Rock Wellness out here came in and really helped us as well. And, you know, we're just very appreciative because this is, you know, history in the making. But it's about taking the message and the education that we have and that we know outside of cannabis and to the public so that people begin to start understanding why cannabis is so important. And in talking about the endocannabinoid system, I just think that brings us all together. We're all human beings. We all have an endocannabinoid system. We all have an investment in learning more.
It's time this goes mainstream.
What's that?
It's time this goes mainstream.
Oh, it is beyond time it goes. Well, it's time it comes back to mainstream because it was readily available, you know, not too long ago. Let me ask you a question about the people that are coming up to you at the fair that maybe are not in favor of it. Are there people that are willing to tell you their opinion and say, hey, I don't like it and this is why? And what are those reasons?
Well, we've had a couple, but I'll tell you mostly they've been in a pretty good humor with it. They're usually older gentlemen who at some point in their conversation admit they watch Fox News. And we just say, we're sorry, thank you, good luck.
There you go.
You know, because a lot of the times when people are saying, you know, we just don't agree with that, we say, well, have you seen the, you know, Sanjay Gupta special recently on CNN? If we get, no, we watch Fox News, we just kind of dismiss it. But the truth of this matter is most people are fairly open and they're curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
Go ahead.
No,
I wondered if you had, for those you had mentioned, like you see obvious people walking by that are in pain and they're just going to, you know, kind of look away. Do you have people there representing all age groups that are patients or that use it as medicine there to maybe, you know, be on their level, talk with them in that sort of manner?
Well, most of the people that we see, quite honestly, through here are seniors, especially during the day at the fair. You know, Mark and I definitely fit that. We've had a wide variety of people come in. Our booth has been very popular, very approachable. After the news clip ran the other night, yesterday, people were there hunting us down, which is very good for information.
In the people who, like you were talking about, who look away, we have had a number of those people. At once they go by and their group passes with them, they come back.
Yeah.
We've had quite a number like that. I stood out and talked for about 25 minutes with a guy from a booth, from a Southern Baptist church booth. People are accepting far more than what those of us in the cannabis community really realize. It's a very hurting world out there, and they're ready for some options.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is some of the information that you guys are carrying at the booths? Like, what are people seeing when they walk by?
Well, mainly we're talking about what we do. Again, you know, we've just launched this national membership organization. We're looking to fill a gap. You know, at this time, people within the cannabis industry or patients, they've really supported groups like Normal, ASA, MPP, DPA, which is good. They've been, you know, worked on policy, all these things. A lot of it, though, comes from recreationalist mentality. And these same organizations have been fairly instrumental in the DUI law that came about in Colorado after the voters passed Amendment 64. So it's really time out there to fill in a gap for patients, and the patient experience and the patient story are put center. And so, you know, Mark's background is in that. You know, he's gone all over the country with patient stories. He's been on the advisory board of Patients Out of Time, and they're an excellent organization that focuses very much on bringing the science here and working with medical professionals. But they really aren't a patient organization. So as we've been looking at this and traveling a lot over the past year, you guys know we met with you and we talked about this, we really felt there was a need for a patient membership organization, a place where patients can contribute and directly impact education and research that goes out to the public, that goes to medical professionals, and that stays within the community and helps build community, because that's really important. We all are kind of in these silos. Corporatization of America has really put us there. We no longer rely on our neighbors and our friends, and yet when you're sick and you need help and you're looking at a medicine like cannabis that's not mainstream, your best resource is another patient. And we really believe in building this research institute that patients will lead the way as research becomes more and more available. So out here at the fair, you know, we've already, you know, we've been pushing. We launched on August 8th. We were over 100 members when we started this. We hope to be, by the end of the fair, over 1,000. We have people coming online, too. Your, you know, people in Arizona, all the patients, or people with an endocannabinoid system in Arizona who want to support what we're doing can go directly to our website and register as a member and pay through PayPal $30 a year or make a donation otherwise. As well, they can go to Eventbrite during the fair for the same kind of things. And they'll help support, like I said, these kind of outside activities. Mark and I also go to a lot of senior events and talk with healthcare providers as well as the patients that are there. We're coordinating veteran events with Mary Lynn and Michael Kravitz, hopefully, to start going out, not just across Colorado, but across the United States. Since we've launched this membership org, we have patients, members now, across nearly every state, and a number of international members, and we've gotten a lot of attention. And yet there's been kind of a slow trickle, as we expected. We're just getting this started. People are just figuring out who we are. But the point to this is bringing people together, doing the network piece of this, connecting patients with research. So we're looking to recruit 10,000 veterans right now for a national meta study. And we're putting on, we're partnering with Patients Out of Time to co-host endocannabinoid courses that are CEU accredited, meaning that for the first time, people who work in this industry can get a certificate of completion for a college nursing endocannabinoid course. Great for patient advocacy, great for job security. So these are the things that we're trying towards. I mean, this is just the beginning. We're looking at this very much as a project-based organization that meets the needs of patients in many different ways. So, you know, we're looking for you guys' support and ways that, you know, helping that your people will get more involved.
That's so awesome.
Well, your people are our people.
Right.
Well, you guys are definitely paving a way of, you know, destigmatizing and helping people come out of this closet that they've been in for so long, so to speak, their green room.
Yeah. Are people asking you about the name cannabis? Are they, because, you know, people wonder, marijuana, pot, weed, there's so many names, and people are starting to hear cannabis. And we were actually talking about this over some spirits the other night, and we were saying that even the states, still, they're all still calling it medical marijuana, their programs. They're not calling it cannabis. What are you finding? What do you guys feel about that, and what are people talking about that?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, from my point of view, I find that cannabis activists use the word marijuana more than the general public. The general public is becoming more and more educated. They're watching programs like CNN, and others, you know, and they can't help but get a positive impact on way cannabis is currently being received nationally. It's amazing to me, the people who are walking up, and they are using it properly. They're using the right word. They're saying cannabis, and they're saying it very matter-of-factly.
Wow, good.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that is.
So
yeah,
I know that
we've had a few questions, but overall people say, oh, yeah, marijuana. But overall I do think they get it. You know, it's good to see. Even, you know, people, again, where we do get things is people not so much against the cannabis use, but what they are is they're concerned about their own safety and security. They drug test at work. We have a number of people that said, oh, I'd love to support you, but I drug test at work. Well, you still have an endocannabinoid system. You can still support education and research. But the point of that is these are things, again, that we need to overcome. I mean, I've been looking at this since I was working on my master's degree in 2001 on drug placing, you know, drug testing in the workplace. And it's a very sad situation when you can't work at McDonald's if you have an activated endocannabinoid system in your body.
It's so ridiculous. Here we are in Colorado, and people are afraid to get their card. Patients, they're sick, they need their medicine, and they're afraid to get their card. Why? Because there's still a stigma here. We have to bring this down. We have to end this.
Yes, we absolutely do. Absolutely. And shows that, you know, Mr. Gupta, Sanjay Gupta were on are going to absolutely help that in being at the fairs and public places. Like you said, we all love each other. That's awesome. But we got to get the others to love us.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's why these endocannabinoid courses and things like that are important too. Education for not just medical professionals, industry professionals. It's very sad that patients can't go to each and every dispensary, legal dispensary, and get good information. It just doesn't happen. And so, you know, we're on a mission to try, you know, to strengthen this for all patients. And, you know, we'd love to come to Tucson as well, so we'll need to connect with you guys on that.
Oh, you're always welcome here. That would be absolutely wonderful. What about connecting with not only patients, but how do you feel about educating the legal and the law enforcement, because there's still states that are, they have their own programs set up, and it's the states that come in on that level and bust people. It's really bizarre.
I'll give you an example of how concerned we are for patient advocacy. We've worked with Marriott. They're one of the main places that will be holding these seminars, though they are not the only hotel chain. But when we have contracts with Marriott that have gone all the way up for senior VP approval that will allow us to have both juicing demonstration and vaporizing demonstrations where legal, like in Colorado, or for patients in Arizona. We have to be more careful in every state. We look at all the rules. But where we're going to be able to actually demonstrate vaporizing. So we've broken some hurdles by going into these places and educating them. We want to meet with their staff so their full security understands, so that patients, when they come to these events, if they choose to stay overnight at the hotel, they don't have to leave up the do not disturb sign. They can medicate safely and appropriately without fear of penalty and fine. They can vaporize in their rooms. They can vaporize in the meeting rooms. And they can step outside if they choose to combust. But we want to invite law enforcement to these. We would love to have DEA and local police in every one of these courses because, again, they're focused on the endocannabinoid system and they're about patient stories. There can be calls. My daughter's a paramedic in New Mexico. She's gotten calls that have involved cannabis, things like someone drinking and then after they've had an edible, and that edible kicks in, and they all have a pleasant experience. But it's the law enforcement, paramedics, firefighters, all these people need to be involved as well. Again, it's about bringing people back into community and understanding the human body, why this works, and, kind of quenching the fears.
And, yeah, this is about bringing down the barriers. So we want law enforcement here. We want people in local government to come to our events. These events are completely transparent. We want to keep them that way because we carry the truth. We carry the knowledge that all of these people, all of us, need. And so we want to share that with them. We have law enforcement have been past our booth many times here at the State Fair. Paramedics have stopped in. Firefighters have stopped in to get information. Absolutely vital.
That's awesome. That's really, really great. I was going to ask that. You beat me.
Well, you know,
we
had law enforcement on here a couple months ago.
Yeah,
and they were talking about
how
a majority of them want it to end. They want this drug war to stop. They're done cracking down on it just as much as they are, but they're getting, their calls from a higher up, and they're saying.
Well, and they want to focus on real crime. And if you, we need to take care of that violence in our society and other things like that. And if we focus there, cannabis, truly, tens of millions of people use cannabis or have used cannabis all over the United States. And we're not seeing emergency room fulls. We're not seeing huge, major, violent incidents. While we see that around alcohol. So we need to address those issues.
What we are seeing is people living beyond hospice. We are seeing people who are coming back from the brink of death. And we're seeing people living a much better quality of life.
Exactly.
We love it that you guys are out there bringing these lives to out into the public so people can see what a patient really does look like, And it's amazing. I think what you guys are doing is pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they allow you, are you allowed to show any juicing demonstrations at the fair, maybe without the cannabis in it, but just to demonstrate the powerful effects of juicing?
We're not able to. What we are able to do is show some videos. We had to go through a big approval process here because the Colorado State Fair was quite aware by letting us in as an educational and research institute that they would be opening it up to other fairs. So we spent several months. We actually got very late notice on this, and so it's been kind of a struggle even to pull the finances together to carry it off because of that. We hope to have, our ducks in a row a little bit more, but it's worked out well. But we show a lot of Mark's patient testimonial videos, the ones that if you go to cannabispatientnetwork.org, takes you to our YouTube channel. And so we've been playing many of those testimonials from medical providers, research scientists, as well as patients. And, they have a big effect on people.
Yeah, they really do.
Well, actually getting to see a patient and talk about their illness and saying what cannabis does for them, I think hits right home to what any patient or any person that has a problem with cannabis is actually getting to see what a patient looks like. And that it's not...
It looks like your neighbor.
It looks like your neighbor. It looks like your mom. It looks like your sister. It looks like your brother. It's not what... It's stigmatizing what patients look like. And I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the videos last night, and the stories that these people have to tell are beyond what I think a lot of people are expecting. And so I think when they see it, they're going to be blown away by the stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the thing here is that each and every one of us have an incredible story. You guys, you have an awesome story, and I hope someday I can record it too. That's the thing. We each have had these amazing experiences as we've come to understand how cannabis can positively affect our lives. And not only that, and then as we share it, how it positively affects so many people around us as well, we each and every one of us, as we share cannabis with others, we are, in effect, we are improving and enriching other people's lives, and in many cases, saving people from debilitating illness and such. I see these people, you know, I often say, you know, when I close my eyes, I see faces, you know, hundreds of faces. But these are all people who are positively impacted by cannabis.
Oh, absolutely. What kind of scientific facts or things are you showing people that are maybe convincing them
to open
their minds otherwise? You know, some people want to hear that alcohol kills X amount of people, and I mean,
statistics and
caffeine
stuff like that.
Kills 10,000.
Well, it's easy around things like the veteran study that we're working on. We lose 22 veterans a day in the United States to PTS-related causes after they've returned home. You know, Mark and I get emails, and we talk to veterans every day. Mark's currently talking with a veteran, a young, you know, early 20s. He's come home from Iraq and Afghanistan, and he has rectal cancer, and he's in Florida. What does he do? How does he get to oil, you know, as he educates himself? But in the booth, we try to connect people immediately with the fact we all have an endocannabinoid system. Again, it kind of goes back to, you know, the things I've said on your show before. If that was our central argument, it really begins to bring people. You can't argue against it. Prove it's wrong that you don't have an endocannabinoid system. Maybe if you're healthy, yours is in great working order. That's awesome. But there are reasons. The point of the endocannabinoid system is to bring the body back into balance. So we discussed that, how cannabis can help, for why it helps then for so many different things. But we talk about CBD. We're talking about CBN more. And other cannabinoids besides THC, and letting people know we only know tiny amounts, and that without research, we can't learn more. Again, as a schedule-run drug, this withholds a lot of research from us. So as we collect patient information and stories, it really will guide and direct the research projects that go on here in the near future.
I had a gentleman last night who came by our booth. And he was rather dismissive, kind of joked, a little jokingly about, well, that's what I did in college, I don't do that anymore kind of thing, rather dismissive. That is probably the most negative response we probably get. And it's interesting, too, because actually, I believe Regina calls him back over to the booth, and we started discussing the truth about cannabis with him. And it was, and, you know, within 2 minutes, he was saying, oh, no, I support medical, of course, you know, kind of thing. He just had some fears about the legalization issues. But as far as medical is concerned, he told us very quickly, he said that if I'm sick and I need cannabis, I'm going to get it.
Well, and, you know, people want to get this for their family members, too. The number of people that have come by our booth concerned about a grandparent has been enormous.
Yeah.
And one of the things, you know, Mary, we work with Mary Lynn on other things, but we do that kind of consulting. We go to these healthcare providers, and we talk to them. They haven't, you know, medicalization, too many of these senior assisted living and full living things said, oh, we're not going to comply with that. We're just not going to do that. We'll exclude that. The thing about recreational coming to Colorado and to Washington is they now have to deal with that. These people are over the age of 21, and they now have a legal right to use cannabis. So they can't just exclude it. Their family members are bringing cards and candies and cookies to the door going, hey, you guys, here's information. Here's things I want my mom or my dad to try. And so we go in and do consulting as well. It's something we can do in Arizona or all over the United States as well. But we go in and talk to these senior facilities and help them try to put policies in place. How do you dose a senior? Well, there's a lot of things coming on the market. We're working with a company now that has a patch product that hopefully is going to go nationwide soon, but they have THC, CBD, and CBN patches. I find when I use them, it cuts my need to medicate all day considerably. We've been using them almost every day at the fair because we're sore and tired, and it really does help when you can't escape and go medicate. and all those kind of things. But there are topicals are huge. All these things, when you start to talk to people about other means besides smoking, then they begin to really understand. And with seniors, when you can go to topicals, which it works so immediately, and the patch and pill-type products that are CBD, low psychoactive, so they're not worried about being on their feet steady during the day, well, these are all things that they break those barriers fairly quickly and are easy for dosing for medical professionals to understand if we can simply help them put it into appropriate policies for their patients.
This isn't dismissing combustion as an option. What it does, though, is it dramatically broadens the whole area here as far as talking about cannabis as another holistic choice.
Oh, absolutely, which everybody should have.
Yeah. So, can you guys tell us a little bit about the Cannabis Caregiver Seminar in Denver coming up and what's going to be going on?
On September 27th, it will be our first one. We have another one scheduled in December. We'll be scheduling more, not only across Colorado. We have we're looking at dates in New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, up in Michigan, and we've had more states even call in that would be interested. So we're very open, depending on scheduling, all the way through next spring. But these endocannabinoids are a CEU-accredited nursing course that Mary Lynn is accredited to teach. So it means that nursing professionals, even doctors, can get some licensing credit for attending this one-day seminar. It means for the first time that industry professionals, those who work in the industry currently, those who want to work in the industry, they can also get a certificate of completion for this CEU-accredited course. What that means for patients for us is we've gotten pricing down to $99 for the one-day course, where patients can come in as well, participate in the course, ask questions. But as well, we're going to be doing kind of TED Talks between a lot of Mary Lynn seminars and juicing demonstrations. We're going to discuss and educate around vaporizing, different types of vaporizers, how they work. Our contracts, the way we set them up with Marriott, they allow us to have vaporizing events. So we're setting up patient lounges so people don't have to run up to their rooms, run outside, hide somewhere, and medicate. They can walk right next door. There will be an excellent provider if they are in Colorado above the age of 21 or a medical patient. They'll be provided medication there. In other states, we'll have to identify between patients and non-patients for many things. But things like juicing, working with high CBD strains, they fall under the 0.003 of THC, and we're hoping in many cases in the raw form that we can do this everywhere. So we're excited about these opportunities. We think it's a unique kind of hands-on. We're looking for sponsors, you know, people like Tumbleweed and ancillary businesses around edibles companies, extraction companies, people who can educate people around different types of products that want to come and be part of our, we're going to call it a health fair at each of these events that people can come through and get educated as well. So we think these will be unique and interesting. They're well-priced. And they're critical it's just critical information. So we hope to be spending these out all over the place and in the lead up for patients out of time. Next conference in May, which will be in Oregon, and then we're going to be building on this series and adding additional components to it. So keep an eye out. There'll be a lot of exciting things going on.
And when are you coming to visit us here in good old Tucson, Arizona?
Well, let's talk after this, and we'll set some dates up. I'm thinking December, January. It would be nice to come out and visit you guys.
Right. but we do have, we're going to be in Michigan in January, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll be in Michigan as well. We have several things going on.
We'll have to come down your way to warm up.
Great. Yeah, you guys could be out for the gym show in February.
There you go.
I wanted to ask about now the second seminar, which is going to be on December 13th. What is that one going to be? Very similar as the same as the first one?
We want to do a number of them. There are so many people that need to get accredited in this. And our response to this has been really high. So we've scheduled two to start in Denver. Again, we are looking at dates. We've got a date in January tentatively scheduled for Michigan. We have dates on October tentatively scheduled in New Mexico. We wanting to talk with locals in Nevada. We're looking at dates in Nevada, Arizona, California, you know, all the way through March next year. So
possibilities in Chicago and also Massachusetts. Few other different places we're getting considerable interest.
Yeah, we also we're as a new organization, it's kind of hard, you know, kind of getting started with everything going. We've had a lot of stuff going on. It's been great to have the support of patients out of time, but within the next month, we're going to be announcing a major that we'll be getting some major support in some funding that will allow us to go into many more states, including non-medical states, and do different kinds of educational seminars like this. Oftentimes for free. So we're working really hard on those kind of things, and we're looking for all the support we can get. And the more patients that come on and support us, the more that helps, you know, draw this kind of attention and gets the right donors and contributors. You know, in cannabis, so many organizations like Patients Out of Time have struggled and kind of gone away. They've really hung in and fought very hard through the years without a lot of financial support from the cannabis industry. And they've, you know, not been very profitable because of that. We are trying to work with people that are coming into this and understanding that education is a much better place to place your advertising dollars than directly into, you know, other means. And I'll give you an example. You know, River Rock Wellness here has a high CBD program, one of the few that we're really aware of, that in an excellent, excellent program. But when we were first talking about them, about working with us, you know, of course they wanted to, but they weren't really sure how to work it out. What we do is different. We're not ASA, and we're not sales, but we are a group of patients, and we do have a lot of connection there. But when we first started talking about what they were doing, actually, I started their high CBD program because I had lumps in both of my breasts. And within a couple of weeks of being on this juicing program and the high CBD oil, well, within 16 days, I went from seeing a nurse practitioner who was very freaked out to having a clean mammogram.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So when that news came out and we were using their products, they actually had 200 new patients within a week. And they had to kind of stop patient enrollment on that program because they were so swamped trying to get their feet on the ground, being overwhelmed. But in addition, across the board within the first month, they had a 15% net increase in business. It shows you patient support, organizations that support them. You guys have been in business in Tucson. You know this to be true. I know you're patient advocates, and that's why you have the support in your community that you do. You know, you supported our organization, Patients Out of Time. When people see that, it makes a big difference. So this is kind of a different thought for people in cannabis. And for people outside of cannabis, they don't really understand we're all patients. We all have an endocannabinoid system. So it's a learning curve. But I think what we're doing is unique and different. And I think over the course of time, we're going to become like the AARP of cannabis. That's our goal.
Yay. But in your opinion, when do you think our nation will just have a program where anybody that needs this can have access? And what kind of program do you think that'll be? Do you think it'll be like alcohol? Will it just, you know, say a certain age and you can have this and do a certain, you know, like alcohol, you can make 100 gallons of alcohol a year. Each person can over 21. Do you think they'll do something like that with plants, say, you know, six plants and...
One of the unfortunate things is we have a lot of really bad legislation on the books across this country regarding cannabis, both in states where it continues to be illegal and states where there are medical programs, very inferior programs that need a great deal of work. You know, it really is so frustrating if you think about it. I mean, cannabis has been the number one cash crop in this country for over 10 years. It's widely accepted all across the board. During, you know, I come from Missouri. I was 56 years a Missourian, and I rewrote the House bill
a medical bill, a house bill for Missouri twice, and I was principal writer of the Show Me Cannabis Legalization Initiative. The reception we had in Missouri was incredible when we were out petitioning for the legalization initiative. We had people fighting to sign our petitions. We had 1,500 people on the ground. We collected over, I think it was over 70,000 signatures, and the only reason why it didn't make it to the ballot was because we ran out of time and there was so very little money that we had to work with. The thing about this is that the vast majority of Americans want cannabis. They want
yes.
this. They need this desperately. They're hearing the reports how people are surviving from cancer, how people are having a better quality of life. You know, this is far reaches beyond the little pot circles that the news programs like to take and show whenever they talk about this issue. This is something vast number of the people who are approaching our table here during this booth are over the age of 45. Many of them over the age of 60. And
yeah.
they're wanting information about cannabis.
Right, absolutely.
I think a lot of people are
because
thirsty and hungry for this
information.
Well, and
their bodies are tired of being wrecked. You know, their livers are shot, their kidneys are done. You know, these chemicals that
they're hurting.
To filter
yeah,
through are awful. And you're right. You see the older, you know, the older generation come in because the older you get, the more ailments you get, you know, kind of known. But the more people want to put you on pills and shots and injections and install morphine pumps in you and all sorts of crazy things and cannabis.
Most certainly. People who are in this scenario, you know, and they're on all these heavy opiates, and their intestines basically
yeah.
shut down. It's a
yeah.
very, very dehumanizing, very demoralizing kind of experience that people are going through. Cannabis, I have seen people using cannabis, they get their life back. You know,
yeah.
they get their mobility back. They're able to go out and rejoin the world again. This this is huge.
It is huge. We have seen overnight changes in people that have just amazed us. Yeah, it is huge.
Once you turn on that endocannabinoid system, you're pretty set.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's
Turn it
right.
on.
Turn it on.
You're missing out if you don't have it on.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. It's like missing one of the lights in the strand of your Christmas light, you know?
Just one bulb can really mess
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, it can really mess that whole strand up. Well, thank you so much for everything you're doing and for taking time out to chat with us. And we're really excited. We hope that you come to Arizona ASAP, and we will set that up so that we can have some lectures, demonstrations, classes, whatever you want to do. We can do it at Tumbleweeds and set you up everywhere.
And maybe December 13th,
awesome.
And I can get out there, you know?
Ooh, who knows?
Awesome.
That would be
Yeah.
We'd love to have you guys. If there's any chance you can make it to the one on September 26th, on the 27th, the night before the 26th, that's my 50th birthday. So we're having our first CPNI fundraiser. We're having a reggae lounge and a jazz lounge at the Denver Tech Marriott with medication supplied by River Rock. And we hope to see a number of patients and people there.
Well, that just might have poked
yay.
Us enough there.
Yeah,
wait. Well, we appreciate you guys' support, and we look forward to seeing you guys soon. Be in touch with us, and we'll talk about getting a date set up for Arizona. And please, your patients can go to cpninstitute.org, go to registration to become members, or to donate to help support what we do. We appreciate you guys so much.
You guys are super down there. Can't wait to come down and visit with y'all.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, we can't wait either.
And be safe, and thank you so much for doing what you're doing, and have some fun out there at the fair.
All right, you take care. I'll have a corn dog for you today.
Oh, yay, all right.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I love what they're doing. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and it is all about education.
If you haven't gotten a chance while we've been talking to Mark and Regina from Cannabis Patients Network, please go on and check out their information. They've got some great testimonials their organization is bringing the light to the patients.
Sure is.
And it's really showing what patients are really needing and what patients out there are doing. So if you yourself have been questioning cannabis and whether it's right for you, some of these testimonials really might bring it out of the cannabis closet.
Well, and if you're
help.
At the fair in Colorado, go see them.
Yeah.
I mean, holy exposure.
Right.
Like to every...
Yeah.
Right, left, up,
it's
down.
It's great because it's what needs to be put out there.
And
they're
everybody's
taking it to,
out there.
To another level is what they're
they
doing.
Sure,
so
which is
one
exactly.
more round of applause for Cannabis Patient Network.
They're getting it to the widest possible audience. Just like
yeah.
empathy.
Empathy.
In an unbiased way. Well, maybe they might be a little biased. They like cannabis.
So, Hempathy, you know, our book that we like to read every week, and it's Hempathy, Food for Thought, is an attempt to show a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and illegally acceptable, the why, and the what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience, and we need to stop the obstruction of research and criminalization of this useful plant. Like cannabis, this information is meant to be shared.
Yes.
Check out www.why-whynot.net, and you can see more of this amazing...
Empathy. What are we reading about today? This is an awesome book.
We read this.
In Treating Yourself magazine, and I think Cannabis Now, all sorts of medical cannabis magazines, even High Times, you'll find Ivan Art's incredible artwork
mm-hmm.
alongside stories and recipes and news, and it's just awesome.
So I think what's cool about this is that, you know, we've got a lot of information going out to a lot of different sources right now, and I know some people are like, hey, you know, it's not happening fast enough, but I think it's happening real fast.
It is.
I mean, my being just in the last year of working with this plant and in what it does, I think we've come a long way from what I remember seeing it just 3 years ago.
Oh, I wouldn't even have thought three years ago coming into this.
Ever.
It's just, yeah, you think, well, maybe California.
Do you want to do this one?
The why?
I always get stuck with the bat.
I don't want to. This is a bad one.
Yeah.
It's why inhumane animal testing. Oh, I don't like this because I love animals. And it's a picture of these crazy chemists and scientists with, all sorts of scared
Dr.
little...
Dr. Jackalish.
Yeah, it's bad. In cages behind them, they're like labeled and numbered, and there's rats and monkeys and dogs and I don't know what that... Oh, a giant bloated rabbit who fills up the entire cage. And a poor little... scared schnauzer down there.
Look
there.
At the little rat is pinned to the board.
Oh, it's so hard. I can't even, yeah. Oh, and they've got like weird instruments and test tube things growing and, it's just strange. Why inhumane animal testing? Each year in the United States, now remember this was written in 2010, so these numbers have probably jumped a lot. Each year in the United States, an estimated 70 million animals are maimed, blinded, scalded, force-fed chemicals, genetically manipulated, and otherwise hurt and killed in laboratories run by manufacturers, government agencies, educational institutions, and scientific centers. No experiment, however ridiculous, useless, or painful, is illegal. The majority of animals used in experimentation receive absolutely no protection under current law. The government pays for the same experiments to be done over and over, and government-funded animal testing costs us taxpayers over $12 billion annually. That's why I buy organic, too, because they don't test on animals.
No.
They don't do this kind of crazy crap. Look at this. It's insane. Can you guys see this? I'm holding it up to the computer. It's bad. Oh, quick, get to the good side.
Right.
That's sad. That's
it
really
bad.
Research, even like research your cannabis, but research things you're buying. If you really want to get wicked into it, just go to PETA.
And why would you research on animals when they can't even fill out a survey when they're done?
Dude, you gotta raise
they're
it.
Not
I'll
gonna
test
say,
on my legs. I'll kill it. One
geez,
strike.
I don't know.
If
you have
Look
to
out.
Test it at all and you think it might be chemically informed,
yeah, well,
you shouldn't be using it.
Yes, thank you.
Let's go with why
yeah,
not.
Yeah, let's come on. Come on.
Allow competition for cannabis research.
Yeah. There you go.
Despite the fact that federal law clearly requires adequate competition in the manufacture of controlled substances, the National Institute of Drug Abuse in the NIDA has maintained a monopoly on production of marijuana for legitimate research purposes in the U.S. The DEA protects the NIDA's monopoly by refusing to grant licenses for marijuana production. So where do we start? How do we get that done? Currently, the only way of marijuana to be evaluated for safety and medical efficiency is privately funded sponsors to conduct FDA-approved clinical trials. But the NIDA's monopoly of the supply of marijuana obstructs such research. Despite strong scientific interest, the NIDA has refused to provide marijuana to at least three federally approved, privately funded studies. So all this can be found on www.opposingviews.com arguments/arguments/ the federal government is obstructing medical marijuana research. Check that out, and you'll see lots of different information. In fact, the NIDA spokesperson Shirley Simpson told Times, as the National Institute on Drug Abuse, our focus is primarily on the negative consequences of marijuana. Of course, we generally do not fund research focused on the potential benefits of medical effects of marijuana. And that's from normal.org news. So it just shows that there's someone up there that doesn't want people to see what cannabis can do to you.
Well, yeah.
I think we should start renaming it and taking the name back, cannabis, because that's
your name, Cannabis Kid.
Good one, Belle.
Oh, thanks. All right, good one.
8:51.
I know.
Got a little bit of time here. So, we also have this timeline going on. This is great, a historical timeline. And we started in the year...
One.
Yeah, just before that. It was like... Oh, well, it was way before one.
The amoeba were talking about it.
Yeah, totally. They were
just
like...
Kidding.
Anyway, in the year 1538, hemp was used during the Middle Ages.
What?
Yes.
Like King Arthur's time?
There you go. Maybe they're just... During the Middle Ages, hemp was central to any herbalist medicinal cabinet. William Turner, the naturalist considered the first English botanist, praises it in his New Herbal, published in 1538. The New Herbal.
The New Herbal.
He praises cannabis. 1538. So it has been used for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So, in the news, what have we got going on? We do have some cannabis news.
We do.
There was an article that CNN was not happy about Sanjay Gupta's.
No, a lot of people aren't.
Why?
I think because he's telling the truth and getting it out
because
there.
Because it scares people?
What? A plant can...
I know.
Can make us feel better?
Well, it can.
And well, after all these years, someone's going to be saying that they're against it and they've been following what they've been told. And now Sanjay Gupta said, okay, now you've got to say you were wrong too. And it's too hard for people to say they're wrong. They'd rather say he's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, there is a medical ethic when you're a physician. And it's about doing no harm to patients. And to me, Sanjay Gupta was following what physicians do. And instead of allowing a trail of money, whether it be pharmacies or bosses or, you know, whoever tries to have influence, doctors are trained to avoid that in order to do the best thing for the patient.
Well, that brings up a great point, because more and more, you know, we find, even in certifications, doctors around town, they're supporting this. And there are a number of different doctors that are sending patients. And now usually there was just like one doctor that's sending me like, oh, I know him. And now people are getting sent and we're like, who's that? Write it down, write it down, you know. And it's becoming more and more accepted. But it's going to be a big challenge until you know, they have to reschedule it.
Yeah.
And then they have to convince America that, okay, you know, it's
we're
really...
We're sorry.
It's
it was
really,
good.
It's really good to eat the egg again, you know. Hard-boiled eggs are bad. Hard-boiled eggs are good.
Avocados are
bad.
Oh,
no. Oh, no, avocados are good.
Trans
oh.
fat.
Oh, fat. I don't know. High-fructose corn syrup. No, it's good. No, great. Yeah. Okay. So, in the news, government-sponsored study concludes the DEA must reclassify marijuana. See, and they're still using the word marijuana. All right. Well, okay, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Despite all the statements by the DEA over the years denying the medical benefits of cannabis, a recent government-sponsored study at the University of California Center for Medicinal Cannabis concluded marijuana has legitimate medicinal benefits, including relief from chronic pain. The study also found that reclassification is needed immediately to open the way for more clinical trials. The study was published in the Open Neurology Journal. The DEA has been recalcitrant in its denial of marijuana's medicinal value for decades, but that may soon end. This study called the DEA's unwillingness to reclassify marijuana not accurate and not tenable. And it's true. The American people are growing intolerant of government hypocrisy and denial of the truth. We each have unique medical needs, and we each deserve to pursue our own unique path to health so long as it doesn't preclude the health and happiness of others. And as many of you know, President Obama can direct Attorney General Eric Holder to immediately order the DEA to remove cannabis from the drug schedules or to reclassify cannabis so more trials can go forward, but I support removing cannabis from the schedules completely. The FDA generally lacks jurisdiction over herbs, unless the herb has been labeled a drug by the DEA. If the DEA removes cannabis from the drug schedules, the FDA would lose the right to regulate cannabis. Instead, we'd be able to buy it as easily as buying basil. And after all, it's about as dangerous as most herbs in the garden and provide much more upside. There's nothing quite like sitting back with a joint, a blunt, a bowl, or a bong. I really don't want to take a cannabis pill. Tinctures and vaporizers work great, but I demand the right to choose. Ultimately, this isn't just about cannabis. It's actually about, you know, getting to enjoy the freedom that is often bandied about as the core of our country, while smokers have to keep their heads down for enjoying one of nature's greatest gifts, the good herb. And that's it.
Awesome.
It is about the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should have that right, you know, especially when it makes them feel better. Everybody, if you listen to any interview we've probably ever had on this show, there's a phrase that is always used, and it's quality of life. And that's what you always hear patients say, I just want a better quality of life. And what? Who are we to deny that? You know, they're taking pill upon pill upon pill that aren't tested. They might be tested individually, but they're not all tested together, and you can't test all those on the same type of person. You know, it's just unbelievable. So we should, our government should let us have this like we have basil or any other herb in the garden that we can use for our health benefits.
Well, when they start controlling our well-being and the way that people want to feel and should be able to feel better,
mm-hmm.
healthier,
mm-hmm.
when they start doing that, I think that infringes a lot deeper than...
I think you're absolutely, yeah, that's way deeper infringement than just, you know, not letting you have your plan.
Right. It becomes
unconstitutional.
Because there really is nothing wrong with this plant. It doesn't hurt anybody.
Right.
It only does help. And so if they're really strongly trying to protect that, what's really going on? It's almost like they're almost just saying that they're wrong.
Right.
And we're
well,
right.
Yeah, and they don't want
to say
that.
But they don't want to say that.
They can't say that. It'll be a while before they say that.
Yeah.
It'll be a while.
Well, the good egg, good avocado, whatever it is. I was reading up on something the other day, and it said, could marijuana,
yeah.
And I don't want to use marijuana anymore. I'm going to actually start just changing everything.
I thought about that. We should say cannabis.
Anytime it says marijuana, I'm just going to say cannabis.
You go. Do it.
Spread the cannabis word.
Okay.
Could cannabis be good for mental health? Breaking through studies claims the drug could be used to help treat depression. Smoking cannabis alerts our responses to negative images or emotions. People with THC in the bloodstream, the active ingredient of cannabis, were less accurate at matching fearful expressions than ones that were happy. Studies argue that cannabis may now be... toted to cure depression. So I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, because there are a lot of people in this world that are on so many medications for depression and PTSD and anti-anxiety and insomnia, and this can help, may even cure, but it can definitely help a lot of people.
When what it does is actually, you know, it sets off a part of the mind that doesn't get activated a lot.
This is true.
And sometimes, like we talked about, that endocannabinoid system is in your brain, too.
It is.
The receptors are in your brain.
No, you can't even argue
that one. CB1 and CB2.
You can't even argue it. It's just there.
It's turning on something that makes you happier. So
absolutely.
I think.
And what's wrong with a little happy?
There's nothing wrong with a little happy.
Nothing wrong with a little happy. Well, guess what?
Time to go.
About that time.
We had a lot to talk about.
We sure did. We could just keep going.
Or did I?
No, you didn't. We would like to thank Regina Nelson and Mark Peterson with the Cannabis Patient Network.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, have fun at the fair, and thanks for being out there. What a great place to expose cannabis, you know, to a wide range of people out there. We would like to thank Blog Talk Radio, Growers House, Accurate Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, Tumbleweeds Health Center, Studio C. Guess what? Tumbleweeds is switching suites. So we'll just come to 5315 East Broadway. We'll be there. We'll be in 103. But we'll just be there. Someone will be out directing you. Yeah, giving you flyers or whatever. Come say hello. Come get certified. $99 certification. Brand new health center. Again, three times the charm. So thank you. We've got some more great shows coming up. And, remember?
Be smart.
Be safe. And educate.
Woo!